नारायण परा वेदा देवा नारायणं गजाः नारायण परलोका नारायण परमकाः नारायण परालोका नारायण परामका नारायण परावेदा देवा नारायण नारायण परालोका नारायण परामका
Vaishnavis?
Paraveda Narayana Paraveda Deva Narayana Gaja Narayana Paraloka Narayana
Paramakaha Narayana
The Supreme Lord
Paraha
Is the cause and is meant for
Vedaha,
knowledge,
Devaha,
the demigods,
Narayana,
the Supreme Lord,
Angajaha,
assisting hands,
Narayana,
the personality of Godhead,
Paraha,
for the sake of
Lokaha,
the planets,
Narayana,
the Supreme Lord,
Paraha,
just to please Him,
Makaha,
all sacrifices. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. The Vedic literatures are made by and are meant for the Supreme Lord. The demigods are also meant for serving the Lord as parts of His body. The different planets are also meant for the sake of the Lord, and different sacrifices are performed just to please Him. Purport. According to the Vedanta Sutras, Shastra Yonitvat, the Supreme Lord is the author of all revealed scriptures. And all revealed scriptures are for knowing the Supreme Lord. Veda means knowledge that leads to the Lord. The Vedas are made just to revive the forgotten consciousness of the conditioned souls. And any literature not meant for reviving God consciousness is rejected at once by the Narayana Para devotees. Such deluding books of knowledge, not having Narayana as their aim, are not at all knowledge, but are the playgrounds for crows who are interested in the rejected refuse of the world. Any book of knowledge, science or art, must lead to the knowledge of Narayana. Otherwise, it must be rejected. That is the way of advancement of knowledge. The supreme worshipable deity is Narayana. The demigods are recommended secondarily for worship in relation to Narayana. Because the demigods are assisting hands in the management of the universal affairs. As the officers of a kingdom are respected due to their relation to the king, the demigods are worshipped due to their relation to the Lord. Without the Lord's relation, worship of the demigods is unauthorized, avidipurvakam. Just as it is improper to water the leaves and branches of a tree without watering its root. Therefore, the demigods are also dependent on Narayana. The lokas or different planets are attractive because they have different varieties of life and bliss partially representing the Satchidananda Vigraha. Everyone wants the eternal life of bliss and knowledge. In the material world, such an eternal life of bliss and knowledge is progressively realized in the upper planets. But after reaching there, one is inclined to achieve further progress along the path back to Godhead. Duration of life with a proportionate quantity of bliss and knowledge may be increased from one planet to another. One can increase the duration of life to thousands and hundreds of thousands of years in different planets. But nowhere is there eternal life. But one who can reach the highest planet, that of Brahma, can aspire to reach the planets in the spiritual sky, where life is eternal. Therefore, the progressive journey from one planet to another culminates in reaching the supreme planet of the Lord, Madhyam, where life is eternal and full of bliss and knowledge. All different kinds of sacrifice are performed just to satisfy Lord Narayana with a view to reach Him, and the best sacrifice recommended in this age of Kali is Sankirtan Yajna, the mainstay of the devotional service of a Narayana para devotee. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuhun Melitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamakhyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Saha Gana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha Shri Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Satta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Krupa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama The Vedic literatures are made by and are meant for the Supreme Lord. The demigods are also meant for serving the Lord as parts of His body. The different planets are also meant for the sake of the Lord. And different sacrifices are performed just to please Him. So in these verses, there is a discussion between Brahma and his son Narada. about the supreme cause of all causes. In that connection, Brahma is speaking all these verses about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. As it is said here, Lord Narayana is the source of all the Vedic literatures. As it says, Shastra Yonitvat. In Bhagavad Gita also it is said, Karma Brahmod Bhavam Vidhi Brahmakshara Samudbhavam. Brahmakshara Samudbhavam, it is said. Lord only breathes out all the scriptures. And the purpose of scriptures is to ultimately reach back to the Lord. That's why He gives the scriptures. As Krishna Himself says in Bhagavad Gita, Vedehishya Sarvair Ahamaviva Vedyo. By studying all the Vedas, am I to be known? There is no other purpose for the study of the Vedic literature. So, these two information are very, very important. One has to know that the Vedas are word of God. Sometimes people ask, how do we know that it is only God who has given these scriptures? It is likely that they may be man-made. They may be written by some sages and saints so that there will be some law and order in this world. So there is one class of atheists who believe that the Vedas are written by some wise people in society in order to avoid quarrel amongst human beings. So that there will be law and order in the society, everything will go smoothly. And wise people in society have many duties, one of which is to keep peace and order in the world. So they have done it like that. So we can ask them a question, even if there is peace and order in this world, what great thing one can achieve in living in this world, from the point of birth to death? Simply eating, sleeping, mating and defending and throwing all dirty substances from the body out. This is the only purpose of life in this world. There is nothing more to life, even if there is law and order in this world. Go work hard, earn money, then maintain your body, maintain your life. What is so great about it? Even animals do, birds do, insects do, everyone is doing. So because those people are bahirartha maninaha, they are enamored by the glamour of the external world, they think this world is all that is. There is nothing more to be achieved. So that is why they think the shastras are there to ultimately give a boost to a happy life in this world. They think like that. But by studying the shastras, one can go to subtler and subtler realms of truth. And the subtlest realm of truth is the spiritual life, the spiritual world. In shastras we find explanation not only about earth, but about the heavens, about the Brahmaloka, which is the topmost amongst the upper planetary systems. And then one understands the joy that comes from penance. That's why the Tapo Divyam, it causes Brahma Saukhyam. Unless somebody gets some Brahma Saukhyam from Tapa, one cannot begin to appreciate what is spiritual life, what is the sweetness of spiritual life. So when one gets some joy, then the shastras become unfolding, they start up unfolding more and more. One can appreciate them even more and more. By following the instructions of God given in the scripture, when one gets some happiness, then one's faith will develop. And as one studies the shastra more and practices more, then the subtler and subtler realms of truth will be revealed to a practicing devotee. And then a time will come when one will be able to easily accept the truth that the Vedas are nothing but word of God. No human being, no matter how evolved he may be in his realizations or understanding, no human being, how much evolved is he in grammar or word jugglery or scholarship, can write such literatures like the Vedas and the allied literatures. One can understand by seeing the depth of the Shastra, one will understand that it is God alone who can write such a word. So that is one part of the truth. Other part is, the goal of Vedic literature is only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, attaining Him. No other goal. Like when the Yamadutas had an encounter with Vishnudutas, this was an argument also there. Vishnudutas asked them, who are you coming and trying to drag away Ajamila out of his body? What is your adhikar in doing this? And what is the basis of the knowledge that you have or the authority that you have? So at that time, you find Yamadutas, although they are Yamadutas, even they speak from authority. They are saying, Veda pranihito dharma. They are saying, my dear Vishnu Dutas, the dharma is ordained by the Vedas. Whatever the Vedas say, that is dharma. Adharma sati pariyayaha. And whatever is against the Vedas is adharma. If Vedas say do this, that is dharma. Against Vedas is adharma. Vedo narayana sakshat svayambhu riti shushruma. They are saying, the Vedas are Narayana himself and given by Narayana. Like this we have heard from our master. Which means, even the Yamadutas were aware of the source of Vedas as Narayana. Narayana is the source of all the Vedas. He is the origin of all the Vedas. And they said, don't think we are ill-informed or uninformed. We are also learned people. Just like you, Vishnudutas, seem to be very learned, we are also no less. We have heard the Vedas and we know the conclusion of the Vedas and everything. So now Vishnudas understood that these guys are not any ordinary guys. They are well read. They also know the Vedic literature. Then they challenged them, okay, you may know the Vedas, but you don't know the conclusion of the Vedas. You don't know the finer principles of the Vedas. It is indeed true that the Vedas say a sinner has to be sent to hell. And he has to be punished by Yamaraj. That is one part of the Vedas which says that. But it seems that you people have no knowledge of the power and potency of the holy name. You have not heard about that part of the Vedas. Sometimes somebody has is well read in one section, but not in other section. Isn't it? Even amongst devotees we find we have studied one book, we have not studied the other books. And then you have a question and we are unable to answer. Because it is there in another book. Like somebody is well read in Bhagavad Gita, not in Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita. Somebody asks you questions on that book, you can't answer. Similarly, the Yamadutas, they were not well read or knowledgeable about the way the holy name acts. They were not knowledgeable. They were actually completely ignoramus with respect to the holy name. And then the Vishnudutas said, seems that you don't know anything about the Lord's holy name. Do you know there is Lord Narayana, the Supreme? And His name is so potent and powerful, even the worst of the sinners chants the holy name, He will be relieved from all the sinful reactions, all the sins, even the sinful tendencies, and His ignorance will be eradicated. And then they went on to say so many things. Even if somebody has put fire to his own house, one has killed his brother, one has killed a brahmana or a cow, all these people's sinful reactions is at once nullified when one chants the holy name. For Yamadutas, this was a new knowledge. They had never heard. They were shocked. And that's why they agreed to withdraw from taking away ajamas. So they went back to Yamaraj and said, oh Yamaraji, we thought you are the ultimate master. Now, we got frustrated and thwarted in our attempts to take away Ajamil. And we were driven out practically. In this way, they were explaining about, we saw those three personalities with shining bodies, well decorated with ornaments and everything. And then when Yamaraj heard the description, he could immediately understand who came. Because he was aware of all that. He knew Vishnudutas and Vishnu and everything. Immediately, Yamaraj admitted his position. He said, he is my master also, Narayana. He kneeled down and offered a prayer to Narayan and sought forgiveness for the mistake of his subordinates. So, in this way we understand that sometimes one may know some part of the Vedas, but one doesn't know the conclusion of the Vedas. The conclusion is surrendering to the Lord. Like even the Chatushkumaras, they knew the impersonal Brahman, but they didn't know personality of Godhead and surrender to Him and devotion to Him as the ultimate until they came to Vaikuntha doors. They didn't know. In this way, one may even reach very fine levels of Vedic understanding without knowing the personality of Godhead and the devotional service to Him. Sometimes they find very learned scholars like Tapan Mishra was very learned, but he didn't know the conclusion, so he was always frustrated until he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a very confused manner. He was very confused when he met Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu told him, the conclusions of Vedic scripture are very simple. Just chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I gave him. All conclusions will be revealed to you. So, that is the first time Mahaprabhu gives a Maha Mantra to someone, personally, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, in this way, these two truths are revealed here, that the Vedas are given by the Lord, and the conclusion of the Vedas is surrender to the Supreme Lord, and no other purpose. By saying this, another point is also established, that sometimes the Vedas, being a Nigama Kalpataru, being a desired tree, having innumerable branches and leaves and twigs and flowers, everything, sometimes the Vedas are very elaborately discussing certain things, like discussing Karmakanda very elaborately. Sometimes they discuss, like if you see Mahabharata, for example, there are so many stories and tributary stories and further tributary of tributaries. So many things are mentioned. Sometimes there is a likelihood one may get lost when one goes to study the Vedas on by one's own endeavor. Because just like sometimes you go to a city, when you go into the lane, sometimes you lose track of the previous lane, where you came from. Like a rat caught up in a maze. Sometimes the rat doesn't know how to come out. Even if you want to go back to the original point, you can't go. You get lost in between. Similarly, while studying Vedas also, there are different angas of Vedas that one can get confused. Somebody gets caught up in Raschand Alankar, you know, singing poetry. Somebody gets caught up in Sanskrit scholarship. Somebody gets caught up in the analytical understanding of the absolute truth of Neti Neti process. Of understanding Sankhya, analyzing the 24 elements. And somebody gets caught up in the mystical, mystic yoga and the explanations. So in this way, often people who get stuck up, they are the ones who become Jnana Yogis and Ashtanga Yogis, or below that there is Karma Kandis and all that. So that is why one has to become a Saragrahi. Saragrahi means one should capture the essence of the Vedas and not get lost in different intermediate goals. One shouldn't get stuck up in intermediate goals. Or one shouldn't get sidetracked while aiming at the spiritual world. One shouldn't get sidetracked. So, sometimes the brahmanas, they hear the descriptions of the heavenly planets and they become attracted. That's why they say, Vedavada ratah partha na anya asti iti badinaha. They say they become Vedavadaratas and their ultimate goal is to go to heaven. Actually, there is an explanation given about this. How these brahmanas become like this? It all arises from the karma mimamsaka philosophy. The karma mimamsaka philosophy says, whatever karma you did, the benefits will come to you. If you did good, you will get good. If you do bad, you will get bad. So the karma mimamsaka brahmanas, what they say, always do good. Never do bad. Then what will happen to you? You will get punya and you will go to heaven. And you can enjoy in heaven for a long period of time. Then you may ask, but after that there is a verse which says, Kshine punya, Marchalapa Mishanti. Okay, you come back. Again do good, they say. And then you can again go to heaven and enjoy for a very long period of time. Because if you do punya, God has no other way to offer you punishment. He has to give you results of punya only. He will give you. So you can avoid doing pap and always do punya and keep going round and round in this very sphere. This is the karma mimamsaka philosophy. It says that there is nothing more to be attained beyond doing punya activities. Yajna, dana, tapa and all those things. And keep going like this. Because they believe God is subordinate to law of karma. According to karma mimamsaka philosophy. They think that the karma law is so powerful, even God cannot change it. That is their understanding. Because of which, they don't surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the ultimate goal of life. Because they think God is one step below karma also. Whatever has to happen will only happen according to karma. This is their understanding. So again, it's a wrong conclusion. Because God can change our destiny. God can change our karma. So that is not understood by them. So, if a man has made a wall and a ball, You throw the ball and the ball comes back to your hand. The man can also make the ball into a steel ball and a ball into a magnetic ball. So you throw the ball, it will never come to you. If he wants, he can do that. If God is the maker of destiny, he is the master of destiny, why can't he change destiny? Foolish people, they quote instances in the scriptures saying that even Lord was subjected to destiny. Even Lord could not change his destiny. Actually, Lord can change anybody's destiny. He goes to Yamaloka to bring the son of Sandipani Muni back. He goes to Vishnu Loka to bring the five sons of Brahmana back. What is impossible for him? So, and that is why one should study Bhagavata. By studying Bhagavad Dharma, we can know that Lord is master of death also. Lord can change one's destiny also. So, in this way, one can be saved from arriving at wrong conclusions, like this Karma Mimamsakas. And I'm just giving one example, and we could give many examples like this. How one can become diverted from the ultimate goal, distracted from the ultimate goal. Another way to become distracted from the ultimate goal is to read too many books. Too many books written by materialists, materialistic people who have no understanding of Vedas or ultimate truth. And they have simply used their fertile brain to speculate about the absolute truth, or to speculate about the matter in this world. So by reading them, one's stability in devotional life can become disturbed. Like for example, in that two types of literature I can think of. One is the critics who study the Vedas and Upanishads from a jnani point of view. Critics. They don't care whether it is Prabhupada or Vedavyas or whether it is Narada. They don't care who is the author. They don't give any weight to the spiritual advancement of the author, but read the books from a critical point of view, from a mundane point of view. And so naturally, if you read the critics' books in English, many times they write, they will see from a grammatical point of view, scholarly point of view. So because of that kind of outlook, they tend to commit offenses. And reading such books can also destroy one's faith in the truths that are presented in the scriptures. Very much possible. For example, if you read, there had been such scholars who became devotees, like Stephen Rosen, for example. He became Satyaraj Prabhu. So, Ravindra Swarup Prabhu, for example. They have been critics before, who see from a mundane point of view. Now they have become devotees, so they can utilize that knowledge to prove how wonderful are these books. How wonderful is Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada's books. Even Shivaram Swami has done analysis like that. But it is a very risky proposition for anyone to study the books from a critic point of view, from a scholarly point of view, like they do in humanities and social sciences. They do. Unless one grasps Shastric books with a heart of faith, the Shastras don't penetrate the heart. They don't sink in the heart. They don't sink in our practical life. They don't touch us. They don't transform us. Then we remain like a honeybee licking the outside bottle, outside of the bottle of honey. You can never taste the honey. Unless we approach the Shastras with the spirit of faith. It's not blind faith. At the same time, there is some amount of faith that is needed while approaching the Shastra. So one category is this critics. Another category of people are the people in the field of science who have written so many atheistic books. Sometimes a devotee may read these scientific books for scientific preaching, and one's own faith may become disturbed. One's own faith, like for example, you want to refute the atheistic scientists. So in the name of refuting them, first of all, if you have to refute, you have to hear them. Only then you can refute them, right? Then you go to hear them, okay, tell me, what is your proposal? Then by hearing them, then one's own faith can become destroyed. Although one may superficially defeat them, heart of hearts, one may start having doubts about one's own practices, one's own philosophy and things like that. So this is a great challenge for those in the field of preaching. One has to be very cautious to safeguard one's faith. based on the scriptural knowledge, based on the acharyas given. Here comes a vital point, the faith in the acharya, like Prabhupada, so the founder acharya of ISKCON. Today, in the ISKCON world, there are some classes of people, even within ISKCON, who say that maybe some of the purports of Prabhupada could be changed and adjusted according to time, place, circumstance, while selling the books. Because Prabhupada has certain strong stand about certain things that he says in his books. So why they are talking like this? Because it's due to a lack of faith in Prabhupada. Of course, the mistakes can be corrected, like Maharaj said when Jetha Swami came. Some mistakes have to be corrected and defects have to be rectified. But the philosophical stance should not be changed. Because they are given by the Shastra. If Shastra says this is woman psychology, this is children psychology, this is man psychology, they cannot be modified or adjusted. They cannot be changed. If one is going to change that, then one is trying to minimize the acharya. One cannot do that. And also, for example, one of the disciples of Prabhupada who was in a very leading position in ISKCON at one time, he started saying that instead of four regulative principles, we should have only three. He said the fourth one is impossible in the age of Kali Yuga. He said Kali Yuga people are all fallen souls. And he said that, you know, no illicit sex principle is almost impossible in this age. If you are going to emphasize on this principle, we will not be able to make any devotees. And he, actually how he arrived at this, because he was counseling many of his disciples who were about to, many of them got divorced. Because man, woman, you know, different people have different needs, bodily needs. He found that, you know, many people are sentimental and they are on bodily consciousness and they cannot strictly adhere to the principle of no illicit sex. So then he started propagating a new philosophy saying that, you know, this principle is relaxable. You know, Prabhupada has been unnecessarily too strict on this principle. You know, we should not, if you are going to be so strict, we cannot preach and all that. So he fell down from his position. He is out of ISKCON now. He is not in ISKCON anymore. So because he came up with the wrong conclusion, that's the reason. We have to follow the path laid by Acharya. If you don't have faith in the founder Acharya and the previous Acharyas, current Acharyas, if you are lacking faith, it's very dangerous. Arising doubts is not called lack of faith. But if one has a persistent lack of faith repeatedly and is unable to... one of the reasons why sometimes we have a doubt and we ask a question and if answer is given, still the answer doesn't sink into the heart, and that is because of not applying the teachings of the Acharya. If one applies the teachings of the Acharya in one's life, then the doubts that arose in our heart, when the explanations are given, we will become pacified. Otherwise we will not become pacified. The doubts will remain doubts. And the doubts will multiply more and more and more. So, in this way, sometimes by reading other books, scientific books, another example is this, in the modern day, techniques and tools taught by the Western people. So there had been a lot of arguments regarding whether we can use the VTE style of communication course and listening skills and all these things into ISKCON. Can we introduce it? There had been a lot of arguments regarding that at top level. So how they ultimately went for teaching this thing is, these tools are also additional tools in our quiver. We can have them, but we can't say that they are ultimate. The Vedic tool is ultimate tool. But this can be additionally used according to time, place, circumstance. We can have them like listening skills or whatever, communication skills, what we teach. Because the Vedic approach is guru teaches and disciple hears. That is the thing. But the Western approach is guru and disciple discuss together what can be done. And the disciple can reject guru's proposal also. The Vedic teaching is the disciple serves the guru and seeks his mercy and blessings. And by getting the mercy and blessings, the disciple makes advancement. And the guru chastises the disciple and rectifies his faults because he is the well-wisher of the disciple. The modern approach is that the guru never chastises the student, never punishes the student, because student will sue him in the court. If a teacher scolds him. And the student doesn't need the mercy or blessings of the guru because he can buy Ekalavya notes and cram and vomit. And he can get marks. So there is quite a bit of difference between Western and Eastern approaches. In the name of reaching out to the masses, we cannot dilute the Vedic philosophy. We can arrive at a wrong point if we are not going to stick to the Vedas. So, in this way, bringing in other karmi literature into our society, or in saying that into our society is a very broad thing, we can say into our own lives. Into our own lives, reading different books, multiple author books. Unless one is having a tremendous loyalty to the founder Acharya, unless one is spotlessly practicing what the Acharya has taught, one will not know how to be a Saragrahi. Like even he says, Chanakya says that. He says in that verse, which Prabhupada used to often quote, Vishadapi Amritam Grahyam. He says, Vishadapi Amritam Grahyam. Even from a Visha, you can extract Amritam, if Amrita is there. And then he says, Anichadapi Uttamam Jnanam. Even if one is a fallen person, if he has some wisdom to give, we can accept. No problem. And then he says, similarly, Amedyadapi Kanchanam. He says, even in a dustbin, if a gold ring is lying, you can pick it up and wash it and use it. Because gold is gold, whether it is in dustbin or wherever. In the same manner, he says, Trishu Dushkuladapi. If a girl is good-mannered, but she is born in a very low-class family, still she can be accepted for marriage, if she has good qualities. In the same manner, if there is some good knowledge, valuable knowledge that Stephen Covey may give, or if there is some good knowledge, some Chanakya may give, although they may not be directly pure devotion service, we accept them. Very carefully one has to pick, one has to be a Saragrahi to pick out what is good, and very carefully compare with what Acharyas have given. Is it in line with what Prabhupada says? Then we should accept them. And we can apply them in our life. Then we are safe. Otherwise we can be misled. So the conclusion is, Vedeshya Sarvair, Ahayamipi Vedyo. If our study of many, many books is confusing us, if our study of many books is destroying our faith, if our study of many books is inhibiting our enthusiasm in devotional service, if study of many books is alienating us from devotees, if study of all these different kinds of books makes us find fault with Prabhupada's purports, that is a signal that one should stop studying other books. One should simply focus on Prabhupada's books. Then one is very safe. Because we have to hold on to the platform, foundation, which is Prabhupada's purports. So in this way, the conclusion should not be forgotten, he says. So that is one part he says. The Vedas are made just to revive the forgotten consciousness of the conditioned souls, and any literature not meant for reviving God consciousness is rejected at once by the Narayanapura devotees. Such deluding books of knowledge, not having Narayana as their aim, are not at all knowledge, but are the playgrounds for crows. Any book of knowledge must lead to the knowledge of Narayana, otherwise it must be rejected. Now, apart from Narayana, we discuss many things. Like we discuss Varnashrama, and we also discuss Sankhya. Like we study so many books, if you see, so many subject matters we study which are not directly talking about Narayana. But these are all subsidiary subjects which may be accepted ultimately while achieving Narayana. For example, like we have to have a healthy body. Like today we are going to have a doctor who is going to come and give a seminar on how to keep healthy. Brahmachari should keep healthy. So, will it lead to Narayana? We can ask a question. Yes, Shariram Kalu Dharma Sadhanam, it is said. Sharira is Dharma Sadhana. So for performing dharma, we need the healthy body. So if we don't keep the body healthy, we will die early. So in that sense, this knowledge is going to help us to have a healthy body which can be used in Narayana service, Krishna service. So in the same manner, we can see We should not forget the aim of why we are doing what we are doing. The goal is not to, like yogasanas we do. What is the purpose of yogasanas? So that body can be fit. The body can have the stamina by which you will be able to resist even difficult schedules and extremely fast-paced schedules sometimes. So your body may be fit even in difficult times. Sometimes you travel a lot. Like when I was in US, we were traveling every 2 days to a new place. Practically for 2 months you travel like that. So if you are doing asanas, you can have a healthy body. That's the purpose. But sometimes you find some yoga institutes, people spend 6 to 8 hours a day doing yogasanas. Then the goal is forgotten. No matter how fit you give the body, it's a dying body. Body is called as Vyadhi Mandiram. It's a dying body. So why to unnecessarily pamper the body so much while forgetting the ultimate goal? That's what he is saying. So we have to pay little attention to the body, you know, little attention to the other details of our life, so that our devotional goal will be achieved ultimately. Yeah. So in this connection, there is a very nice section in Chaitanya Leela. We would like to recite this. So Krishna Gaurav Goswami tells this famous, beautiful verse. This is 5.89 Anta Leela. 5.89. Here he says, Chaitanya Charitamrata Nityakarapan Yaha Haite Premananda Bhakti Tattva Jnan. By studying Chaitanya Charitamrata every day, what will you get? He is saying, two things you will get. You will get Premananda and Bhakti Tattva Jnan. Two things you will get. You will get the scientific knowledge of devotional service, and you will also get ecstatic bliss. Both you will get. O devotees, relish daily the nectar of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For by doing so, one can merge in transcendental bliss and attain full knowledge of devotional service. So, after saying this, he is talking about how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accompanied by his pure devotee associates, enjoyed transcendental bliss in Jagannath Puri by preaching bhakti in various ways. And then he is talking about this particular pastime. It's a very famous pastime. So I would read a few verses. A brahmana from Bengal wrote a drama about the characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and came with his manuscript to induce the Lord to hear it. The brahmana was acquainted with Bhagavan Acharya, one of the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, after meeting him at Jagannath Puri, the brahmana made his residence at Bhagavan Acharya's home. So, Bhagavan Acharya is a Vaishnava devotee who is well known to the Bengal, all the Vaishnavas in Puri. So, this person, this brahmana from Bengal, he is coming and staying in his house. And then he tells Bhagavan Acharya that I have written a beautiful drama about Jagannath and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So please hear this. So, many Vaishnavas assembled to hear it. They all came together. And while hearing, the Vaishnavas are praising the drama, saying, very good, very good. Parama Uttama, they were saying. Very nice. So they also had a desire that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also hear the drama. That was the desire. Customarily, anyone who composed a song or verse, literary composition or poem about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, first had to be brought to Swarup Damodar Goswami to be heard. And it was passed by Swarup Damodar. And then it was presented to Mahaprabhu. If there was a hint that some rasabhas was there and Mahaprabhu didn't tolerate it, then Swarup Damodar will not pass it. And Mahaprabhu was very strict in this regulative principle. He says, the Lord made this etiquette a regulative principle that he would not hear anything before Swarup Damodar heard it first. That was his principle. So, sometimes our students write poems. Even we write poems sometimes. Sometimes one gentleman came here and said, you know, can you publish a book? I have written some poems on Krishna, Ram and all that. So in the next few verses you will come to know what is the qualification for someone to write. Who can write and who cannot write? It's very vividly, nicely explained here. So Often you find when people write poems and all, in order to fit the rhythm, they say they bluff anything and everything. They say all kinds of words, and then you find that, like Vaishnavacharya songs, if you see, they are ditto, directly taken from the scriptures. The meanings of scriptures are directly there in Vaishnavacharya songs. It's only in Bengali, that's the only difference. Otherwise, it's like Sanskrit turned into Bengali. It's like that. And you will also find in Prabhupada conversations, many, many examples that Prabhupada quotes are all Sanskrit verses from Puranas. Examples he gives. Like, Prabhupada says, the example of fish out of water, or the example of bird in the cage, they are all there in scriptures. He is quoting only scriptural examples, nothing of his own. So he is saying here, Bhagavan Acharya submitted to Swarup Damodar Goswami. So Bhagavan Acharya came to Swarup Damodar. A good Brahmana has prepared a drama about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that appears exceptionally well composed. First you hear it, and if it is acceptable to your mind, I shall request Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to hear it. And Swarup Damodar Goswami replied, Dear Bhagavan Acharya, you are a very liberal coward boy. Sometimes the desire awakens within you to hear any kind of poetry. So Bhagavan Acharya, in a very gentlemanly way, told him that you are like a very liberal coward boy. What does it mean? That means that you are very naive. You are very innocent. You don't know there are so many Mayavadis around. There are so many cunning people around whom I write poetry, whom I write prose about Mahaprabhu or Jagannath. Like if any of you have been during the Jagannath Rath Yatra, if you carefully hear the announcements they make about Jagannath, the commentary, running commentary, there is so much of bluff goes on in that. You will find. They say Jagannath is also for Buddhists. So Jagannath is Buddha for Buddhists. They are saying. And Jagannath is Kali for Shaktas. And Jagannath is Krishna for Vaishnavas. So accordingly they speak for all. There are many people. If you read the books which they sell there during the Jagannath Puri Rath Yatra time, you will find this kind of bogus articles are published there, in that. So there are many mischievous people giving so many multiple wrong interpretations. And by hearing them, a devotee's faith can get disturbed and can become destroyed. So that is why Swarup Damodar was telling him, you are too naive, like a coward boy, liberal coward boy. Thus you want to hear anyone and everyone. So this goes to show, even in those times, Vallabhacharya is coming to speak his own commentary on Bhagavatam to Mahaprabhu, and all the Vaishnavas escaped except Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit, because he can never say no to anyone. He became a victim of Vallabhacharya. And on one hand, he had to hear that commentary. On the other hand, he also had to hear the scolding of Vaishnavas also. On the other hand, he was torn between the two. Similarly, whether it is old times or new times, you will find within the devotional community also there will always be people who want to come up with something on their own, which is not in line with what the acharyas are saying. So one should be very careful. Our society is growing bigger and bigger. So we have to maintain the purity and sanctity of our society. Just like, for example, we want to sell some songs, cassettes and CDs. Slowly what happens, so many karmi singers who are not devotees, professional singers, those things come in. So you will read eventually in the next few verses, unless one is dedicated to serving the Lord, one's service is not accepted as pure. One should be committed and dedicated to the lotus feet of the Lord. And one should have awakened devotion service, loyalty to the Lord's service. Only then that service can be counted as service. Otherwise, if somebody is a professional singer, making CDs for making money, that is not accepted as pure. So, also there are so many songs which are not written by Vaishnavacharyas. Although they may be very nice sounding, they cannot be accepted. And they cannot be sung. One has to be very careful in screening them. So, he told him like this. In the writings of so-called poets, there is generally a possibility of overlapping transcendental mellows. And the mellows thus go against the conclusive understanding. No one likes to hear such poetry. Then he said, one who has accepted the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his life and soul can describe the pastimes of Lord Krishna or the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this gives the qualification. Who can describe the Lord's pastimes? Krishna Leela Gaur Leela Sekare Varnana Gaura Pada Padma Yandra Haya Prana Dhana. Gaura Pada Padma, he says. The lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yandra Pranadhan, one who has accepted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet as his life and soul. Only he can describe Krishna Leela and Gaur Leela, he says. And then he says, Gramya Kavira Kavitva Shunite Haya Dukha Vidagda Atmiya Vakye Shunite Haya Sukha. Hearing the poetry of a person who has no transcendental knowledge and who writes about the relationships between man and woman simply causes unhappiness. Whereas hearing the words of a devotee fully absorbed in ecstatic love causes great happiness. This is also another verse. The result of hearing is explained here. What is the result of hearing? Result of hearing a Gramya Kavi, Gramya Kavira, he says. And then hearing from a Vidagda Atmiya, which means Vidagda Atmiya means a devotee absorbed in ecstatic love. And Gramya Kavira means a man who writes about man and woman. Sometimes there are cinema song writers, you know, duet song they write. Man is saying this and lady is saying that and again man is singing. They write. And they say, we can write poem for your organization also if you want, they say. Because his mind is polluted with such kind of writing for mundane purposes, he cannot write about Radha Krishna purely, because he is not surrendered. Now, often we may feel that Prabhupada is talking about professional reciters and we are not that and we are safe, we are devotees, we may think like that. But we also can consider a point here, as it is said here, that if one is not yet pure, our quality of our writing should not be considered in par with those who are extremely pure. Because in the subsequent verses you will find, he will say that unless one's heart is completely free from the propensity for sense gratification, then one's writing cannot be considered fully pure. Some contamination will go in because of the fruity mentality. So he says here and further, the standard of writing dramas has been set by Rupa Goswami. If a devotee hears the introductory portions of his two dramas, they enhance his transcendental pleasure. Despite the explanation of Swarup Damodar, Bhagavan Acharya requested, please hear the drama at least once. If you hear it, you can consider whether it is good or bad. Still he was adamant. For 2 or 3 days, Bhagavan Acharya continuously asked Swarup Damodar Goswami to hear the poetry. Because of his repeated requests, Swarup Damodar Goswami wanted to hear the poetry written by the Brahmana from Bengal. Swarup Damodar Goswami sat down with other devotees to hear the poetry. And then the poet began reading the introductory verse. First verse he read. And Swarup Damodar had to put a full stop immediately. This is the verse he said. Vikacha kamala netre Shri Jagannatha sagnye Kanakaru chirihatmani Atmatamya prapanna Prakriti jadam ashesham Chetayan avirasit Sadishatu tava bhavyam Krishna chaitanya devaha. It looks so beautiful, isn't it? This is the verse he wrote. The Supreme Personality of Godhead had assumed a golden complexion and has become the soul of the body named the Lord Jagannath, whose blooming lotus eyes are widely expanded. Thus he has appeared in Jagannath Puri and brought dull matter to life. May that Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Dev bestow all good fortune upon you. When everyone present heard the verse, they all commended the poet. But Swarup Damodar Goswami requested him, kindly explain this verse, he told him. The poet said, Lord Jagannath is the most beautiful body And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is exceptionally grave, is the owner of that body. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared here in Neelachal to spiritualize the entire dull material world. Hearing this, everyone present was greatly happy, but Saru Damodar, who alone was very unhappy, began to speak in great anger. Dukkapana Swarupa Kahe Sa Krodha Vachana. What he said? Are Murka Apanara Kaili Sarvanash Duita Ishwara Tore Nahika Vishwas. He is saying, you are a fool, he said. You have brought ill fortune upon yourself, for you have no knowledge of the existence of the two lords, Jagannath Dev and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, nor have you faith in them. Duita Ishwara Tore Nahika Vishwas, he said. You don't have faith in the Lord. That is why your mind has become bewildered and you have written a poem like this. Lord Jagannath is completely spiritual and full of transcendental bliss, but you have compared him to your dull, destructible body composed of inert external energy of the Lord. You have calculated Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full of six opulences, to be on the level of an ordinary living being. Instead of knowing him as the supreme fire, you have accepted him as a spark. Two mistakes he committed. What was it? To consider the Jagannath to be a wood. Ordinary wood, wooden jada. And then Mahaprabhu to be occupying that body. And by saying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is occupying that wood, he is considering Mahaprabhu also to be like a body and soul being different, like in our body. We have a body inside which we are sitting. Similarly, Jagannath wood and inside is Mahaprabhu sitting. Like that he is. So that means he is also thinking Mahaprabhu, he is calling him as the soul of the body of Jagannath. So that's the second offense. Actually, for Krishna, the body and soul are same. Like the Varaha Puran says that verse, Dehi, there's one verse, I will come later. He will quote that verse also. Deha Dehi Vibhagoyam Na Ishwara Vidyate Kochit. There is no distinction between body and soul of the Supreme Person of Godhead at any time. This is from Kurma Puran. So Sadhguru told him, because you have committed an offense to Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you will attain a hellish destination. You do not know how to describe the absolute truth, but nevertheless you have tried to do so. Therefore you must be condemned. You see, somebody may say, sorry sir, I didn't know. Somebody may say. But such kind of sorry is not acceptable. Why? He is saying, you do not know how to describe, but nevertheless you have tried to do so. Therefore you must be condemned, he is saying. That means if you don't know, then you should not do such a thing. It's a crime. Just like, see, the Shastras are very strong for those who accept leadership. For example, if somebody accepts leadership and then commits a corrupt activity, he is very severely punishable. Somebody in the position of a leader, accepted as a leader, for example, you know, mother or father or king or executive head of the state, or any social leader or anybody, if he does a crime, because it affects many people. Similarly, if somebody is writing, he should not write unless he is absolutely confident of what he is writing, because what he is writing is going to go to so many people. So then if he writes something wrong, then that wrong is also going to be propagated. It affects so many people. That is why he is scolding. You do not know how to describe, but nevertheless you have tried. Therefore you must be condemned, he is saying. You are in complete illusion, for you have distinguished between the body and soul of the Lord. That's a great offense, he says. At no time there is a distinction between body and soul of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His personal identity and his body are made of blissful spiritual energy. There is no distinction between them. And then he told them, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, is always full of transcendental bliss and accompanied by potencies known as Kladini and Samvit. The conditioned soul is always covered by ignorance and embarrassed by threefold miseries of life. That's the conditioned soul, is a treasure house of all kinds of tribulations. And then hearing this explanation, all the members of the assembly were struck with wonder. Swaroop Damodar Goswami has spoken the real truth. They admitted. The Brahmana from Bengal has committed an offense by wrongly describing Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now the Vaishnavas, their eyes opened. They understood. When the Bengali poet heard this chastisement from Swaroop Damodar Goswami, he was ashamed, fearful and astonished. Indeed, being like a duck in a society of white swans, he could not say anything. Because he gave, as you saw, he gave a wrong explanation before, and that's what he was thinking. Now his understanding has been disproved by Swaroop Damodar. And then Swaroop Damodar looked at him, who was like a duck amongst the swans, Brahmana. So Swaroop Damodar took pity on him, and he told him this most famous verse. You all repeat this verse, very nice verse.
Yaha Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavera Sthane Ekanta Ashraya Kara Chaitanya Charane.
So Prabhupada used to say this verse slightly differently. He used to say Bhagavata Padagya Bhagavata Sthane. Prabhupada used to say. So Yaha Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavera Sthane, he says. Meaning, if you want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, he said, you must approach a self-realized Vaishnava and hear from him. You can do this when you have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is why you find Srinivas Acharya taking so much trouble to go long distance and go to whom? Gadadhar Pandit. To hear Bhagavatam from him. And then Gadadhar Pandit's Bhagavatam was all, you know, touched by the tears from his eyes, and it was all smudged. So he told him, get one Bhagavatam written and you bring it. Go to Bengal. So Srinivas Acharya went back to Bengal. It took another 4-5 months to get a Bhagavatam written. And by the time he came back, Gadadhar Pandit had left the world. So then he thought, let me leave my body now. And then he had the hope from Rupa Sanatana. So actually it is very difficult to get a Bhagavata, a person Bhagavata. By hearing from whom one can become enlightened. Because there are many people, Vaishnavas, many devotees who are practicing devotees. But to get in touch with someone who has deeply realized the purports of the scriptures, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, is very, very rare. So, once Prabhupada was giving 10 days lecture in New Vrindavan called as Bhagavata Dharma. Similarly, in class Maidan he was giving also, 10 days he was giving continuously. So many disciples would travel with Prabhupada, and they would stay with them. They would sit by the side of his lotus feet and hear from him. Because such a kind of lively association, personally, hearing from a realized person is so rare. Because that will deeply penetrate the heart. That's why the sound vibration from Uttama Bhagavats devotees are very important. Like sometimes we hear the singing of devotees. There are so many devotees who are singing. The CDs are available today. Many people want to hear them because they like the tunes and everything. Maybe if you want to learn some tune, you can hear them. Maybe for learning purpose. But actually, by hearing the sound of a very advanced devotee, that we also become purified. And hearing the sound of a very young devotee, immature devotee or unsurrendered devotee, then that also influences us. We may not even know. So in all our voices, we should not put such songs. It should not be put for the public purposes. Sometimes we put for the new boys who are coming. But if one wants to hear, you are going to bed, you are going to sleep, you should hear actually voices of very surrendered souls, very pure souls, because it will deeply enter our system. Enter our heart. Similarly, hearing lectures of very advanced devotees, Uttamadhikaris. Because their heart is full of love for Krishna and compassion for the suffering souls. And by hearing them, of course, again, there should be Shraddha on the part of the hearer also. Yeah, soul, a living being may be very advanced. But if we don't have the Shraddha, then we won't benefit so much. So Shraddha is also needed. But we should not hear with Shraddha a fallen person. Just like this, Bhagavan Acharya was trying to hear the Brahmana from Bengal. Bhagavan Acharya had great Shraddha, but Shraddha in a wrong person. That is very dangerous. Because if we put Shraddha in the wrong person, we will degrade. Huh? So we should have great Shraddha. So the hearer should have Shraddha and the speaker should be advanced. He should be Bhagavat then. Bhagavata Padagya, Bhagavata Sthane, as he says here. Beautiful. And then Sarudamadhar told him, associate regularly with the devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for then only will you understand the waves of the ocean of devotional service. Only if you follow the principles of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees will your learning be successful. Then you will be able to write about the transcendental pastimes of Krishna without material contamination. See? He ends with a very positive note. He is telling him, okay, you have a desire for writing poetry, but how you should write? If you want your learning to be successful, follow the principles of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tabeta panditya tomar hai be safala Krishna raswarupa leela varniba nirmala. Only if you associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees and follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's principles, then you will be able to write about transcendental pastimes of Krishna without material contamination. You have composed this introductory verse to your great satisfaction, but the meaning you have expressed is contaminated by offenses to Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have written something irregular, not knowing the regulative principles. And then, I am not going to read the subsequent section, but later on you can read it, what he is saying here. But the goddess of learning Saraswati has used your words to offer her prayers to the Supreme Lord, he says. And then he talks about how Indra is calling Krishna as Vachalam, Balisham, Stabdham, Agyam, Pandita Manina. How there are positive meanings to this and negative meaning to this verse. Then he's talking about Shishupal cursing Krishna. He's taking that verse. Kamsa cursing Krishna. So he's taking those verses from Bhagavatam and he has given, they have double meaning. The asuras have used it for, you know, cursing Krishna. But goddess of learning, Saraswati, has given an alternative meaning to those words, to glorify Krishna. In the same manner, Sarudamadhar, what he did? He took that verse which this fellow Brahmana wrote, and he gave a positive meaning to that verse. And then he gave a positive meaning and said, you see, this could be an alternative meaning. So although your intention was wrong in writing this verse, because you thought Mahaprabhu is the soul and Jagannath is the body and all that, still Saraswati has pulled out some nice words from your mouth and that goes to the glory of Lord Jagannath and Mahaprabhu because they can never be blasphemed by anyone. In this way, he ends with that note. If you read it, it will be very interesting. That's the later part of this verse. So here we learn another interesting thing. When this Brahmana said that verse, immediately Sarudamadhar didn't chastise him. So he asked him, please tell me the meaning. Because by asking the meaning, you can know with what intention he has written. This goes to show how much in our devotion service the intentions are important. In devotion service, there should be an intention to please Krishna. So, it's not that Krishna becomes incidentally pleased, intentionally pleased. Intention is very important. So when he wrote the verse, if that Brahmana gave explanation, which was given by Sarudamadhar towards the end of this pastime. That means his understanding was correct. And some wordings were wrong, small, which can be corrected. For example, if the Brahmana said, you know, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Jagannath is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Jagannath is sitting in Nilachal, Parvat, as the deity, and he is giving darshan from there for those who visit him. But his darshan is deprived for those who come from other castes and other religions and all. For their sake, the same Jagannath is moving about as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and making himself available for everyone. That's what the meaning he will tell later, double meaning he will tell. If that was his understanding while writing the poem, Sarudamadhar would not have scolded him at all in the first place like this. He would have told him that you have to make some small changes. But asking him, okay, tell the meaning, what is your understanding? By that, Sarudamadhar immediately proved to him how his understanding was illusory understanding, bogus understanding. In our teaching also, we should always find out what is our audience understanding. Because we may teach a lot of things, but are they digesting the principles of devotion service? Are they understanding it properly? Because if somebody is understanding and applying in life, they have to become transformed. If they are not transforming, that means there is some serious flaw in their understanding. Something seriously wrong. Whether they are insincere, their knowledge is not sinking in their heart, they are not applying it, they are attached to the material things, and they just don't move an inch like an anchor stuck in the ground. They are not moving ahead. So that's why Sarvadhamar is asking him, tell me your understanding. So in this way, in this beautiful purport, Prabhupada is talking about, these two things are the essential things. That all knowledge, all books of knowledge we read, should ultimately enhance our devotional attitude. That's very important. Na utpadye dadratim samayevahi kevalam. We should always be asking, I am associating with this devotee, is it helping me to become a better devotee? I am reading this particular book, will it help me to increase my devotion to Krishna? So we have to, whatever we associate with, we have to always calculate it in terms of this. Otherwise one should not waste one's valuable time with books and materials and engagements which actually don't enhance devotion. Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Bhaktavinda ki. Thank you very much.